Hey guys, awesome episode today. We're talking about holiday gift giving and a boyfriend with a drug problem. Check it out, enjoy, share it with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's totes preach. I appreciate it. I'm happy with the growth of this podcast. And you know what? It's work from me. It's work from you. It's a community feathering. We're all a part of this thing, and we got to keep doing it. This needs to get bigger. I need more ears. And how do we do that? Take a screenshot right now. Anytime you LOL, just know when you got the gift of laughs this holiday season from Papa JT, screenshot, Instagram story, tag a bitch. Tag me. I'll send you the heart. It's really appreciated. That's how this whole thing works. Keep pushing.
Good email alert.
There's a lot of good emails today.
Rate, review, subscribe.
And you need to rate, review, subscribe. You need to get into this. You need to keep telling your friends. Keep going. And I'm going to ask one more favor. Give a little, just a small feathering for Papa JT. The Wizard of Weddings, the King of Brunch, the Sultan of Swipes, the Wizard of Haas. In the description of today's episode, there is a survey. The survey is to get a handle of what you, the listeners, are like, where you're from, your age, your gender, all that stuff so that we can find better sponsors to service you. Because that's what happens. We want to give you the free money from the places you're going to use it. And if we're bringing you free money for Brussels sprouts and you're like, we hated Brussels sprouts, we, you know, no one wins in that equation. Right, Shelby?
It's super easy. It's on your phone already.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going, go on your laptop to this website and fill the, it's already there.
You guys know this is important because this is the most energized Shelby has been about anything on this show.
Just do it. It's easy.
I've never seen it's you free. So alive about
it's
something.
It's free and it's already on your phone.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you hard instructions.
No,
here.
This is easy. Don't piss Shelby off. He's already pissed at you for not doing enough of the survey.
Just do us a favor. Why?
One solid. That's all we're asking. And make it your Instagram story because that's a solid tip. But it's in the description. You click the link. It's done in what? It's a 3-minute survey?
At most.
And you're helping. What you're doing is you're helping yourself. You're not helping us. Let me correct you, Shelby. They're helping themselves get more money off of things that they would use.
If you don't do it, you're only hurting yourself.
You're only hurting yourself. Look it, you screwed yourself by not doing it a week ago. Do the survey. Hit pause. Okay, now you're back. Okay, they did
hey,
the survey.
Great job.
Good job. You helped yourself get some money off of something in the future because we need to know you to bring in a sponsor that can help you. There we go.
Thanks.
So thank you. We're thanking you for taking the survey that you just did. Happy you did it. Very excited about today's guest, an OKP. He's back. Justin Smith.
Great guest alert.
There it is.
Oh, I love a lead in. I love a button push. There's, I love it. It's my favorite.
A lot of good drops here since you've been. That's right. Justin Smith.
I love it.
Coming through the door at Justin Smith Comedy. How you been, buddy?
I've been so good, man.
You've been traveling this great country of ours.
Yeah, I don't get to do it in the first class cabins of
Listen.
Movies and like it's you know how angry I get when I go to your Instagram stories and I see you like breaking down a movie with a cocktail in your hand and I've been on the road for 8 hours.
Well, dude, you prefer to drive. We're two totally different sides of the travel argument.
That's
we're
that's
two religions
true.
Here.
That's very true.
I'm a fly guy.
Right.
I'll fly to Boston.
Right.
Like, and people go, whoa, what? And I go, it's equal time, plus I get the points.
Right. Oh, I remember when we did the District of Comedy Festival.
I flew.
We drove.
And you drove.
And me and Petey and his estranged ex.
Yeah.
All drove and we ate cupcakes.
It's. I mean, listen, I was above you guys, waving from up above. You drive. Why do you choose driving over the flight is as expensive as the gas.
Not in my car.
What do you in a vault?
You're
in a little mini? I can't see you in a mini.
Yeah, I got a tiny little.
You are the mini.
Yeah,
you can't.
Absolutely, yeah. I fill it up.
What is
it? It's like a baker's dozen.
You can't. Thank you, crowd.
Thanks.
At Justin Smith Comedy, why are you... the gas in your car is not...
I think I do it more because...
You like the road. Doing it.
My dad is very blue collar. My family's very blue collar. Mm. So there's kind of like this thing of like,
it's a betrayal.
Flying is like a special occasion. It's like, oh my gosh, you're going on vacation, or like, I don't know. It feels like something like it's still like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like I'm at that level yet. I know it sounds really, weird.
I understand. But the more, no one is going to tell you it's okay. There's no promotions in comedy.
I know.
This isn't how it works. You got to give yourself the benefit of the doubt, the B of the day.
I remember I was opening for Swartzen, and one of the gigs was kind of close, and I didn't even think about it. I just got in my car and I drove to it, and he goes, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
he's like, I pay for your flight.
Yeah.
And I go, ah, man, it was close. He's like, it was like 8 hours.
Eight,
like,
that's not close.
I know. But you also understand, like, when I grew up in Oklahoma, I worked in the oil field. So, like, I used to, like, dude, you drive everywhere.
I will say this. After traveling to some of these places, the idea of, like, a long drive to certain areas of the country is very different than a long drive to, like, New York.
Right.
Like, I think more New York, L.A., Boston, Atlanta, like, they're all they'll talk about is traffic. And if you go to like Oklahoma, they're like, yeah, you just keep going on that road for 3 days and then you're there. Not a bad ride. I think when you can put on cruise control, it's a different drive.
Oh, it's
than
great.
When you are
when
like,
when it's
stop
straight.
And go.
Oh dude, it's, you put on whatever Radio you're into.
On.
You just go, whether it's like, you know, like I was recently into, Vince Staples new like EP or whatever. I listened to that the whole trip. It was
Vince
great.
Staples. I don't even know.
The ShamWow guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, is that who it is?
Yeah. That's, show me such a
just
dick.
Listening.
That is his name.
Justin's just listening to ShamWow commercials.
That's right.
All the way to Tuscaloosa.
What is this, Demolition Man? Am I listening to old commercials?
Old commercials. Well, we're pumped to have you. You know the show. You guys all need to go follow Justin. He's hilarious. At Justin Smith Comedy on Instagram. It's the new year, new you. Go follow a new comedian. That's what this show's all about, finding new people.
It'd be much appreciated.
Yeah, you need some followers. So go at Justin Smith Comedy on Instagram. And how do you feel about Oklahoma being in the Final Four?
Well,
it's not piss you off.
It's not. Here's the thing is I'm at a point now when I watch college football that like it doesn't. I'm not like I'm past the rivalry thing now. I'm past
you're
hating.
You're beyond fighting.
Yeah,
you're beyond
well,
arguing.
I think it's the fact that I've been watching like when I started watching Last Chance U.
Yeah,
and also my uncle's a college football coach, so
okay.
Like you kind of get the feeling of what these kids go through.
Last Chance U is like such an amazing
dude. It's unbelievable.
It's such an amazing show because it shows you. I mean, if for those listening at home, Last Chance U is on Netflix, and if you don't watch it, it's just a look at this junior college, or it's like a community college.
It's a junior college. It's basically if they don't make the grades in high school, or they go to like a D1, and they don't start, or they want to start over, or whatever. They go to this JUCO for a year or two
to get
the eyes of
And this one specific school, the first season, I haven't seen the second season. Or it's the
the first two are everything that's wrong with junior college football, and the third season is everything that's right with junior college football.
Okay, well, because I've watched the first season, and I'm sitting there going, man, because you look at these kids, and the idea of going, like, that they're, like, they're counting on a lottery ticket. Because they may be good at football, but like the average NFL career is three or four years.
Right.
Like, and it's like they're going, and then you see their mindset of like.
Unless your foot touches a ball, then you're.
Well, then if you're a kicker, I mean, game over. I mean, friend of the podcast, Steve Hauschka knows that.
You have Hauschka on?
He's been on the show.
Oh, dude, he's
We went
so
to
good.
High school together. We played lacrosse together.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We That's were fucking
state
crazy.
State champions at Needham High School, 2003.
Dude,
That's
so
right,
good.
People. Google it, bitches. I'm a
so
champion.
Good.
That was my final game as a anything.
Did you get carried off the field?
I carried someone else.
Oh, is that?
I was the bottom layer of the carrying. I touched a toe and I helped the toe up. But you see these kids on Last Chance U where you're like, they're really counting on the NFL. It's like you've already fucked up once to end up here.
Yeah,
and it's like.
Here's the thing is like I the thing that bothers me about college football more than anything, and I don't know how many of your listeners are actually going to like what I'm about to say, but
Ring the bell. Here we go. We got to watch out, listeners.
He's scrolling through it.
Watch out, listeners.
You know that.
Go ahead.
I could do the most brilliant argument, and then still, I could do like an Elon Musk, we need to go through tunnels shit.
Sure.
And the foghorn just nullifies all of it.
Well, let's see. Give your hot take, and then we're going to ring it.
I mean, like all these big schools, these big, huge pedigree schools, they've ruined the landscape of college football because essentially what they've done is what. You remember that thing about what Starbucks used to do with coffee where they would buy the top 10% of the quality of beans, and then they would only sell. The top 2% of the 10%.
So then you couldn't really get that other 8% of good beans.
Right. So there was not only was there a margin between you and everybody else, but you used the best of that thing. It's the same thing that Alabama and Ohio State.
Alabama has like their first string running back is what you're saying is like that running back is the best in the country, and then the second string. Is the other best in the country.
They
and
pluck
he can't even
all
play.
Of them.
Yeah, he can't even play at Nebraska now.
Right.
Like, you know, Nebraska's working with the 50th best running back because the top 10 are at two schools.
Well, that's what Oklahoma State has had to like live on is they find three-star guys that are under-recruited and they find guys that fit their system. Like, those are the only people that survive.
Well,
but here's the problem is when they go head-to-head with big guys, they can upset one or two of them, but they can't.
You can't,
they can't
last
run the table.
Season.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, I mean the best example of that is go Google the Miami football team that won the national championship.
Oh, the U part two where they list all the guys.
You have to Google that team.
Sick.
To see the amount of players on it that you're like, him? Like the first
Jimmy Graham sat on the bench for 3 years for that team.
Yeah.
It just lets you know how good that team was.
It's like Frank Gore, Jeremy Shockey, like, you know, Ed Reed. You gotta go look it up. But let's get into the emails. You ready, Justin Smith?
Always ready, bro.
At Justin Smith Comedy. Yeah, the point wasn't made. You're right. It didn't even make sense. Let's get into it. You know the show. Everyone knows the show. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We just the email titles right out off the bat. The first four I'm looking at are like crazy good. I like this one too. Where this is coming out. Holiday dating question. 'Tis the season. Might be some jingle bells on the way. I've been dating someone for about 6 months now. We've established that we are only dating each other. We are both adults. I'm in my late 30s, and he's in his 40s. What's the best way to broach gift-giving for Christmas with him? I'm not big on gifts. Time spent together is more my speed, and don't want him to waste money just because he feels he should buy me something. Is it rude of me to bring this up? If not, how do I word this casually so it's not a big deal? This is a fantastic question. We've done versions of it every year on the podcast, but I love re-bringing it up because it's a nice reminder of what, you know, let's get talking.
Right. I don't know. 6 months in, like, just let him be who he is.
Well, what do you mean let him be who he is?
Well,
here's
the thing is, like,
gift here.
I know, but with her being like, oh, I'm not really into the gift thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
But maybe he's a gift giver. Like, that's his thing.
It's kind of like that five love languages thing where it's like you guys, everyone expresses love in their own way. let him do him and you do you.
Yeah, sure, 90s church camp Jared.
That's
sure,
right. That's love is beautiful. Love is smart. Love is
living in his grace.
Living in his grace every day. I will say you're right. The answer to this question is you do you.
Yeah.
Drive your own gift bus. Okay?
But also
you're Santa. You drive the sleigh. You hit Johnny Reindeer with the fucking whip, and you drive your sleigh to his roof to drop off the gift you want to give with what you're comfortable with. So you can only react,
right?
With relationships, and it's like you can engage and react. So to me, I'm a person. I don't like the gift thing either. I'm not like, because I never grew up that way. Like I think it all has to do with like how you're brought up. Some people they're like, I don't know about your family. Would they be like, would it be like January or would it be August? And then your parents would be like, well, we'll put it on the Christmas list. Like, was that a party? Some people are like that.
Yeah, I mean,
like if you were like, I gotta have this one thing, and they're like, well, you can have a winter jacket Christmas. Like, I don't know how it went.
Yeah, I mean, my family was very much like, we did, like, when I was growing up, when I was young, we didn't have very much money. Then my dad got an upgrade in his job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had all this stuff, but we weren't super, like,
material. Wasn't like you were, like, new job, now it's like, it wasn't like you guys all of a sudden lived a different life.
Right, but also we were, like, we're big college football fans. So,
sure.
Like, my mom would always get me, like, oh, we're going to the bowl game for Christmas.
Oh,
or like
cool.
That was like, so that's kind of like,
yeah.
Even like as like a kid, like I loved going to football games. So like,
yeah.
The idea of like, because at that time, Oklahoma State wasn't very good. So a bowl game to San Antonio was like, oh my gosh, if only we could get to San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like that was.
And
that
then
was,
everyone gets in the car and does the 30-hour drive. And
right, like, exactly right.
We
hitched the wagons up and we went.
There it is. Come on, Ma. Get the cooking plate. We gotta have lunch on the way. I was never in the like wait till Hanukkah. We like barely even celebrated Hanukkah. Like
right.
It would be like that was kind of like, we would light the candles and that was about it. Because listen, I wasn't really like there was never a, you know I was very lucky where it wasn't like I was like sitting there being like night one
so
better get here
you
soon.
You didn't get the little small gifts or any. You guys,
we,
didn't
you know, that? Sometimes maybe early on, maybe some gelt,
some fucking bed sheets.
Bed sheets. Well, we love bed sheets as a gift. Here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Those kind, not Lion King ones.
No. You don't want the Lion King ones. You want the ones from Brook Linen, which we'll get to later.
Well, I feel like the Shelby sheets and then the free sheets are it's a different thread count.
All in my room, all satin. No, but Brook Linen, that's who gets me going.
Let's talk about them now.
We'll talk about them now. This is a great gift. Listen, Brook Linen, we're going to get right back to this email. I love Brook Linen because you spend a third of your life in the sheets and the other third in the streets. This holiday season is a great time for bedding upgrade for you or a loved one. I just love that they're 5-star hotel quality sheets and they're not difficult to find or expensive sheets. It's just really well done product that has taken out the middleman so that you can buy them at a, you know, a fraction of the cost that you would have. You don't have to deal with the stores. They get delivered right to your door. This is a great, and it's also a great gift to help someone that maybe have moved somewhere new or is just needs a little bit of a refresh.
You probably brought this up before, but when you even just change your sheets, it's way better than you'd think it'd be.
If you, January 1st is a tough day. Because you're thinking about new year, new me. Look how I fucked up the last year.
Fresh sheets.
If you wash sheets and make the bed on January 1st, I promise you, you're going to feel better about your year.
It's like, it doesn't look that different, but for some reason it just feels so different.
It really does. And especially when you make the bed, then you go take a shower, you dry off, you put some like Gold Bond powder all over your body, and then you just creep into that bed. You're like, oh, That's a massage you're giving yourself.
Oh, if you turn the ceiling fan on,
unbelievable.
You just get that whole, it's all fresh and renewed.
And so listen, to have that happen, my Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've really ever had. And now it's time for you to have an upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer for just my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that their product, that all their sheets, comforters, towels come with a lifetime warranty. That's right, people. Lifetime. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code JTRAIN at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code JTRAIN. Brooklinen, these are really the best sheets ever. Back to the question. I will say this. I'm a big proponent of experience gifts. If you've been together under a year, I don't think you have to give anything like physical. I think you can go, you drive your boat. You say, hey, you and I, I've planned a dinner for us on this date at this time.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's
and then
dope. Yeah.
You take care of the dinner. You take care of the reservation. You take care of the sexy lingerie. You make it a night. I think that's a nice dinner when you're 6 months into a relationship is more than enough. And it also shows that you're thinking about them.
Right.
And it's like you could even, I mean, other than that, other experiences, you got a hotel room in the city you both live in. That's a great gift.
That's a nice one.
And you say, I got us a hotel room for the Saturday after New Year's because that's a cheap weekend. That's the tough, you know, coming from like people in the entertainment business, like, you know, Justin and myself, you know that that's the toughest weekend to get people to come out.
Yeah.
Is the weekend after New Year's.
Yeah.
So you get a hotel that weekend. You say, hey, listen, you and I, we're going to be going to this sweet hotel, staying somewhere at like a five-star place.
We're going to go to Applebee's. We're going to go to the hotel where the door opens to the parking lot.
That's right. My
gosh.
Motel, hotel.
We're
going to
comb the bed for bed bugs.
There it is.
Oh, dude, that's how relationships are made right there.
I love an Applebee's. We're doing a night at the bees, and then we're heading up to the hotel. And we're going to really get it going.
Sorry, Jared. So, is my Oklahoma showing?
A little bit, but that's okay. We're going to clean the place after you leave. I just
get
think
a 48-hour notice.
But this is the thing. All her qualms about gift giving, I understand. But you say to the person, you don't worry about what they give you. You worry about what you feel comfortable giving them.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Justin Smith at Justin Smith Comedy on Instagram. Go follow. Go support. He's a fop. Friend of the pod.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for the endless amount of laughs, words of wisdom. Saw you at the live podcast you did in Charlotte, and you were even funnier in person. Oh, my God. My balls are tingling. I hope I go back to Charlotte. I like that town. To get to my question, my boyfriend and I have been together about 6 months now. It seems like these emails come from the six-monthers a lot.
It's a rough time. It's a scary time.
This is like an over the hump time.
You're like dipping your toe into Rio finally.
Yeah. You've gotten used to the water, and is this water good? Is it flavor? Is there shit in this water? We spend every night together. It's a lot of time. Have a lot of fun. Overall, have a great relationship. The one problem we keep facing is he's done coke behind my back. Cocaina.
Banging rails.
You could say I'm somewhat prude when it comes to drugs, and it's not something I ever want to do or be around.
Well, no wonder he fucking does it behind her back. Holy shit.
Exactly.
I'm a prude. Well,
I told him when we first started dating that it was a deal breaker because I had done it in the past. Because I knew he had done it in the past. However, he said he wouldn't do it anymore. Fast forward a few months, he's away for a trip, and I'm watching his dog. His iPad is just sitting there, and curiosity got it the best of me. Found out he had continued to use cocaine and tried to hide it from me. Brought it up to him. He said he was sorry, and it was just once and wouldn't happen again. The cycle repeats a few more times, and last week, and I checked the iPad again. Man, this girl...
She's checking the pad a lot.
From that iPad. check the iPad is like her command center for this boyfriend. That's fucking crazy.
Might be a preview of a news story later.
Oh, good. Oh, look, there it is. Shelby. I'm not saying she's crazy, but I mean, This iPad is just sitting there probably across the room, and she's just like looking at it, be like, right. Don't do it, don't do it, don't
are
do it, fine.
Are we also to believe that's the only time she's ever checked this iPad is twice?
No, this, well, it feels like she's sitting there watching it every minute of every day.
Yeah.
I check the iPad again and find he's still doing it behind my back. I confront him, and he told him the lying had to stop. It makes me feel like he either doesn't value my opinion or he's addicted. Once again, he told me he'd stop, and he finally understands that my concerns are valid. Will he ever stop, or am I stupid to believe in him? Is this even a problem that he does it occasionally? His mom died a year ago, and I think he uses drugs and alcohol to cope occasionally. Am I in over my head? Ooh, this is a tough one. What do you think?
Well, how are you finding out with an iPad that he, like, I don't,
I think
like.
The, I think it feels like too easy to find out on that iPad. Like, if I got caught over the iPad, then you would never see my iPad again.
Right.
Like, well, if my iPad, like, if that got me caught once, that iPad would be with me on the fucking vacation.
That one's going out, the iPad's going out the window, yeah. Into the streets of Harlem.
Yeah, that iPad, it's like, that iPad's a bad friend. You know, like.
Maybe it's one of the newer ones. They're, like, pretty big, too.
It's too big to fit in his backpack?
Very big.
Oh, why are you bringing your iPad? I like to bring it with me and out on vacation.
But also, like, I don't...
You're just walking the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't understand, like, is he...
Brings his iPad into the shitter with him every time. Why are you bringing that
iPad? Is it, like, connected to his phone and she's finding photos, videos, text messages?
I don't know, but here's my assumption, because we can only go with what the email gave us. My assumption is, and this is like, there's a period of time in like 2008 to 10 where all these divorces were happening because of the cloud.
Right.
So people were, the cloud, they were texting, and then the texts were connecting to their iPad. So she's probably, what's happening is, and I'm giving her very much the benefit of the doubt, is she's sitting there and she's seeing the light go off on the iPad with texts that he's interacting with people.
Right.
While away, where that's someone who I can't tell you if he's addicted. I mean, she also doesn't give their ages. Like, I know coke is a bad drug, and I know that, like, I also know that people do it recreationally. Like,
right.
I also know a lot of people who do coke and also go to their job, do their job well, and then do coke again a month later.
And they sell coke.
Doing it. I think it's making a comeback. I don't.
Coke has made a comeback.
Do it. I don't. I've never done it.
I remember my senior year of college. I was walking around the fraternity, and I remember. No, it was. I think I remember it was my junior year. Junior year spring, I'm walking around my fraternity, and like doors were locked, and then I was like, oh, I like would knock on the door, and then I finally got in, and then they were like, hey man, what's happening? And I'm like. What are you guys doing? And it's like friends of mine. And they're like, just come in. Come in, lock the door. And they're like, we're doing coke. And I go, oh, we do that now? Yeah. Like I was kind of naive to that being like a thing.
Like this tis the season. Last year at a Christmas party, I got like asked, hey, do you want to go in the bathroom and do some lines? Last year.
When you find out about it, then you see it everywhere. Because then I started noticing all the doors were locked.
You start noticing people disappear. People
disappear. And especially Penn State, I always considered just a drinking school. Like, you know, like there's
certain... And you got to take that whiteout seriously, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly. It was a whiteout, quite literally. It's but I never... I'm telling you my honest truth.
Right.
It might have been that it was going on. But I didn't notice it until like really my senior year. Then I was like, oh, people... Now you start seeing it, like you said.
Right.
You start seeing the people disappearing and the ones that aren't, and the doors locking. And listen, I'll be completely honest. I've done coke in my life. Mm. It's not something I. Yeah, the crowd is shocked. It's not something I do now, but it's something I've done in the past. And I don't. I kind of live by the thought of the high isn't worth the low. The next, you know, the right. Tuesday after coke is.
But you decided to do comedy as a career.
Yes. This high is worth the low. So I do know that, you know, to empathize with this guy, when you say to the guy you're dating, doing coke is a deal breaker, and to him, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
Then he has to lie about it because he likes you and wants to see this through. But also, when he goes out with his friends, he's like, he doesn't see it as such a big deal.
Right.
And I could, because addiction is the issue. It's what I think people, I do think I have this belief. I'm sure people would disagree with it. It's not the thing you're addicted to. You're addicted to addiction. So it's like,
right.
it could have been anything. When, you know, if you notice, a lot of people who stop drinking, they start smoking a ton of cigarettes, or they start going to the gym a lot, or they start, you know, they fill the addiction with something
else. Or they get into like a particular culture, they start reading a certain kind of book.
Totally.
They get into an author, a certain musician, they start going to festivals,
and sober festivals. but it's true. You see, when someone gets off of one addiction, they find another, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad again. So I don't, the thing about an addict is this ruining the rest of his life? Right?
Yeah, I mean, I
think it sounds like they enjoy each other's company and everything's good but this. It's like a red flag deal breaker situation. She's like, everything's great, except every now and again I find out he's done coke.
Yeah, well, the problem is that she gave him an ultimatum. She caught him, and then she just kind of let it go.
And then she broke her own ultimatum.
Right.
So now he never buys her bullshit. He's like, yeah, if I get caught, I'll talk my way out of this. She has to be more open to talking about his coke usage, right. I think. And that's not me saying that he should keep doing coke. But if he comes to you and goes, listen, there's a couple friends I do it with. Whenever we're out, like, is that something that makes him cheat on her? Is that something that, like, forces him to go down a bad road? Like, I think when you close yourself off to someone else's issues, then they're forced to do these issues in the shadows. I'm not blaming her. I'm trying not to blame her.
Right.
But I do think when you make it, well, that's a deal breaker for me, then when could he ever talk to you about it?
Also, I feel like, because she talked about she had issues with it also. Like, I feel like you could, did I hear that wrong?
No, I don't think she did.
Okay. Well, maybe she did.
She had done it in the past, but not like abusive.
She says, it's something, not something I ever want to be to do. She just says, I'm somewhat prude to when it comes to drugs, and it's not something I ever want to do or be around. I told him when we first started dating, it was a deal breaker because I knew he had done it in the past. However, he said he wouldn't do it anymore.
Okay.
So it's like, but then she says that he's also dealing with the death of his mom a year ago, and I think he's used his drugs, alcohol to cope with it occasionally. So it's like, You know, is he sitting in a dark room with a bottle of Jim doing lines in the, you know, like going, mama, like, is that what's happening? Or
is he doing a Morrison?
Is it once every month he gets a little sad and then goes out and gets a little drunk?
Right.
You know, there's levels to these things. And I think if you like him enough, you have to open yourself up to talking about it in a adult way where it's not like, well, I didn't see it, and closing your eyes to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you can kind of like, I feel like putting your foot down so quickly on something like that is like, also, like, I know I have friends of mine that smoke a bunch, and it's kind of like, I have friends that you can totally tell, and it like ruins like I have friends that when they get baked, like, it's like you can't even have a conversation.
Yeah,
and
alcohol
there's some
too.
And there's some dudes that you're just like, oh, it just doesn't make it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know it if you said like, it's so funny. I have a photographer buddy of mine, Mike, and he went with me on my trip.
Homeless pimp.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. But he went with me on my trip, and we were taping a doc about this tour. And he's around my mom and my grandma, and they're very like up, like they're very straight line, straight laced. And he's hitting a pin, and he's baked.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone. But the way he is, you don't even know.
Yeah.
So
sometimes that's just as dangerous as the people you know. You know, where it's like, yeah, you do how much weed in a day? It's like, but if they're, you know, there's a lot of adults out there functioning while doing a lot of these different things.
But in the same thing, like, you know, you hear somebody like has like a suicide, and you see tweets like, oh, reach out to people, or if it was like drugs. Oh,
yeah.
I was like seeing somebody once, and they said, oh, yeah, like, I had this half hour ride to work. We were both like kind of, we like to smoke weed. And she'd be like, oh, I love to smoke a bowl and just be high on that long drive. And I was like, that's not safe. Like, could you? And I was trying to put myself out there, like, hey, can you, like, I care about you. I don't want to, like, super serious, but, you know, can you not do that? Like, and she was like, look, I hear you. I understand, but I'm still going to do it. And I was like, I kind of put myself out there. Like,
well, you
know,
well,
Shelby, hey, Shelby's like, hey, can you know that one part of your day that you're really happy? Can you stop doing that, please?
Yeah, Shelby also just did a whole, a DARE commercial for us. Hey, can you not do that for me? I
care about you.
I care about you. Listen. You have to, but Shelby, what you did is kind of where this girl is in the position of what she has to do. You either have to go deal with it and be okay with hearing the truth, or you, as you said, you don't want to be around and you go, goodbye, I'm not going to deal with that. And that's okay too. You could break up with him and say, hey, you got issues that I am not equipped to deal with and you should probably go talk to a professional and I don't think dating is a good time for us right now. Or you say, I care about you. You could care about someone and leave. I'm not saying you can't, but you could be like, I care about you. We should let's talk about this. When do you do it? How much do you do? Are you doing it with friends? Doing it alone? You try to assess when you open yourself up to that conversation, then you can find out if this is a problem. Right now, it feels like she's in the dark.
Well, also, he may be insecure about doing it also.
Sure.
Like, that's the thing is, like, I can't tell you how many, like, weird things that I do that, like, if I ever try to bring it up, like, I remember when I was home at Christmas, I wanted to try floating for the first time.
What's floating?
It's like the sensory deprivation chamber or whatever, and you float in salt water, and, like, all your senses are taken out.
How was it?
It was pretty dope. Yeah. It was pretty great. But, like, I was real, like, self-conscious about telling anybody about it.
Why?
Because I'm Oklahoma, like, blue-collar family. Sure. Like, oh, you're going to, oh, big New York City guy is going to go to the space pod and explore his deep thoughts. Yeah, you know, like, why don't you chop firewood?
Yeah,
like,
that's a good way to fucking explore your thoughts, too. But
that's what, like, when you have people around you like that, it makes you less likely to open up. So maybe it's a thing where, maybe he's insecure about doing it also.
Yeah.
And the people he's doing it around are the only people that are cool with it. So maybe if you were cool with it, you have more of a voice in the issue.
Yeah. And you could say, well, that's a lot of coke.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Speaking of drugs, this next sponsor is like a drug. Okay, I love. Oh, listen, we just got a review on the podcast. This might sound weird, but the survey was fun to do. Appreciate all you with Shelby, especially his voice and sound effects do. Look at that, Shelby.
Things are really happening for us.
Really, we're really taking off. You know, this sponsor's like a drug to me, Rothy's. I love Rothy's. Have you heard the buzz?
What is? I don't even know what it is.
They're the shoe company that's making cute shoes out of recycled plastic water bottles. And they've even got the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, wearing them. The Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, and my mom both have these shoes.
So two queens.
Two queens. It can be hard to find flats that are comfortable, sustainable, and affordable, but Rothy's is the answer to your shoe worries. This is also a great gift for mom, sister. It's a great-looking shoe that's both comfortable and usable. You won't leave the house with Band-Aids on your heels anymore. I got these for my mom. She raves about them. She loves the functionality. Wear them anywhere. That's really what you're looking for, a shoe that you can take. You know, you can wear to work, wear around the house. They got it all. They come in four styles: classic, flat, pointed toe, loafer, and sneaker. They come in tons of cute colors and patterns like herringbone, zebra, or ombre. And just for the holidays, check to their iridescent line. It won't be around for long. So listen, right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for my listeners just for the holidays. Use code JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN to get free shipping on any order, no minimum. And they're also giving you free returns or exchanges on any Rothy's shoes. But trust me, you won't return them. Go to Rothy's.com. That's Rothy's.com. Enter code JTRAIN at checkout to get your amazing shoes and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. These are shoes that are comfortable, stylish, and sustainable. Plus, you get free shipping. Rothy's makes a great gift for your girlfriends and any ladies in your life. Listen, take it from, you know, take it from me. Take it from the Prince of Presents, okay? I know what I'm talking about here. Yeah, any woman in your life is going to love it. Any friend, anybody. That's Rothy's.com, Rothy's.com. Use promo code JTRAIN. Rothy's, be comfortable and cute.
You say recycle plastic, right?
That's right.
See, that's the best kind of thing for me is like when you have like a gift and it has like a story. So like if the gift doesn't hit, then it's like, Oh, it's got a cool story to it.
You're saving the world
while
you're huffing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you can like, even if they don't mesh with the look of the shoe,
sure.
It's still like, oh,
but
look
they're
going to
mesh.
Doing.
This is all good stuff. But I hear what you're saying. You can look at them and go, that's your icing on the cake. Mm. Wow. Look at these shoes. And then you go, do you know those are made out of recycled plastic? And they'll go, what?
Yeah.
No, seriously. They can. Now you got a good conversation, dinner time talk. You've reconnected with your dad. There it is. Hi, Papa JT. I have a specific situation happening that I know a lot of people, guy or girl, can probably relate to. I'm a 23-year-old lady listener, young professional. There's a guy who has been on and off with me for 7 months. A month ago, I blocked him and his bullshit. Since then, he emailed my work email twice. He had to Google this on his own, by the way, and asked me to unblock him so we could talk. Against my better judgment, I unblocked him and I hung out with him. For whatever reasons, I've always felt really attracted to this guy, and he was the first person who was the whole package for me. When I first got there, I asked him if he was seeing someone, and he said yes, but that he contacted me because he didn't think she was right. Me going against every ounce of common sense, better judgment, ended up making out with him and sucking him off. I love when a girl says sucking him off.
It's a good phrase.
It's hot. The entire time he would make comments about how he missed that, how he could during the blowjob. Ooh, I missed that.
Oh, it's so
Ooh,
good.
That, I missed that mouth. It's so creepy. That he could stay there all night and making comments that seemed like he was comparing me to the other girl in his mind. When he asked to have sex, I said absolutely not. I made it clear that I wasn't going to go down that path.
We're not doing this.
No. She's got no. There's a line, people. If another girl was in the picture, and he said in return, but what if I only have sex with you, leaving me speechless? Don't worry, I said absolutely not. But noticeably looking like, what the fuck? I left and asked where he was, and he said he couldn't make any decisions. My bullshit alarm immediately went off, and now here I am, feeling like a true idiot for even going over there and making out with him. Listen, don't feel, I can't tell you how to feel, but it happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Obviously, no one can read minds, but you definitely have more insight on the male thought process than I do. Why do people do this? Why invite me over if you're not sure about the other girl? Why weigh both options? Does he want a warm body? Does he give a shit about either of us? Should I tell this guy to fuck off? The entire situation seems fishy, and I don't understand how someone can be on and off with someone for so long. What do you think,
dude? This is not just a male thing. This is a every person thing. Like this is a classic.
Human.
This is a classic reel in roll out situation.
Okay,
this is the kind of person that won't let somebody go.
Yeah.
Does all the dramatics to get somebody back once you've said enough, I'm done.
Yeah,
you've moved on.
Yeah.
They reel you back in,
mm-hmm.
and then when you get close and you kind of get committed to it,
yeah,
then it's like, all right, so how am I gonna keep her kind of at a distance, but still like keeping her in a pocket all the time. Keeping
yeah,
her around.
It sucks. I've been this guy.
Oh my gosh, I've been this dude.
Yeah.
It's like high school, college, I've had this
and you know what it is? It's a version of knowing that you still got it a little bit. You know? This guy isn't confident enough to go out and meet new people.
Right.
But he has some people in his life that can make him feel like he could meet new people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like he's got both girls and then he's like, I have another girl that I really like, have a great connection with. I don't doubt your connection. Like I'm sitting here being like, yeah, You and him, I get that you and him have something going on that you can't, that is a connection that people, that you're like, okay, this is easier than finding out there's no one else out there at all.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, there's someone out there that likes me, that's into me, that's that has seen me naked and hasn't turned away.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want to have to go to that great unknown world of people that don't, that might say no.
Because that's scary as fuck.
That's scary as fuck. So I go to the, you know, the belayed version. I go to the one that has a net underneath. Because if you say no, I can blame it on our history.
Right.
If some random girl says no, it gets blamed on, well, I'm a worthless person. And he's using you to keep up his ego and his confidence, which sucks.
I feel like she has to realize that he's insecure. That's where the whole thing comes from. Like, because here's the problem is she's kind of put him, I hate the phrase, put him on a pedestal, but like, it's that thing where she sees him in different from what he really is. Yeah. She sees him as better. She's the kind of person who looks at his IG is like, man, doesn't his life look like so much fun? But really, it's dog shit. You see, like, as comics, you and I see through all the bullshit.
Sure.
So, but I think that's the thing is she's got to realize that if he's not moving on, if he's not trying to do something else, if he's trying to keep, you know, a couple of fillies in the stable, he's afraid to get out there.
Yeah.
So so you have to change the way you see him.
Yeah. He's not doing well.
No.
And also this is a classic full of cum situation. This guy was raging full of cum. He's probably like kind of in a fight with his girlfriend. He's like, where can I drop this off? And he's like, holy shit, I got this girl that we were on and off. I got it. The minute I talk to her, I'm going to feel better and good. And then the minute he came, he went, ah, fuck, I don't want to be with either of them.
The second they parted, he went, I miss us. What was that?
And it sucks.
Miss us?
Yeah, he doesn't miss you. He misses. So I do think, here's what she's got to do. And the worst part of this whole thing is the I need to talk to you. You never need to talk to anybody. We have to stop doing that shit.
Right.
Because they do, after a relationship, the hardest thing to do is end a relationship. You, a good person, has to tell another good person that you're going to go look for better people for you. That's very tough to look someone you actually care about in the eye and say.
Yeah.
So respect the difficulty of what has already been done. Respect the difficulty of a breakup to know that you should be broken up.
Right.
Because when someone breaks up with you, it's not, or someone ends something or a hookup, they didn't just think of that on the spot. They thought about it 30 times before.
And they had to build up the courage to get
to
it too.
Yeah. So once they got over that mountain, why are you disrespecting the ability of going over the mountain?
Right.
If someone climbs fucking Mount Kilimanjaro, you're going to go, yeah, they fucking climbed that mountain. They did that shit.
Right.
You can't take that away.
So if you really care about somebody, you give them the distance to build another foundation.
Well, it's not about caring about someone. I'm saying don't buy the I need to talk to you. Right. There's nothing to talk about. You thought about it, rethought about it. What could be there? Because what happens is I had another girl message me.
Well, I mean, there is always the hey, you might need to go get yourself checked out.
Well, this is but I had a girl DM me that she had this guy who was her friend. No, dated this guy, didn't work out. Then they said they'll just be friends. Then they were friends, and then all of a sudden he unfollowed her on everything, and she was like, she found out she had an STD and wanted to tell this guy. And she goes, well, I need to speak to you. I have something important to tell you. And he was like, no, he just ignored her because he didn't know what, she didn't reference the STD.
Right.
She kept being like, I have something important. I go, why don't you just fucking say it?
Right.
You didn't really care about the STD because all you cared about was getting in front of him and telling him he was a fucking asshole.
I don't know. I feel like I do.
If she cared about the STD and being this hero to all these other girls he's fucking, she would have said, you have a fucking STD.
Right. I mean,
I had to get cured.
I do kind of understand the idea that an STD conversation is a in-person or at least on the phone conversation that you should have.
But it should happen as quickly as fucking humanly possible.
I agree to that.
But the thing is, the minute you take it, let a week go by, you're a part of the fucking the STD issue.
Right.
You know, and it becomes about, and I said to this girl, I go, listen, I don't doubt that this guy's an asshole or isn't doing the right things, but the whole I need to talk to you thing is a little bit about you. Admit to that so that you can fucking move on. And the reason that he blocked you on everything is because you guys, he thought becoming friends with you would get you hooking up again, and it didn't. He said, fuck this shit. He didn't want to be your fucking friend. So it's like the same thing with this girl where he goes, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. Whatever you need to talk to me about can be done right now over text. If it can't be done there, goodbye. I'm trying to move on with my life. So we all have to stop buying this I need to talk to you bullshit, because no one needs to fucking talk to you. When it's over, and the only thing you, oh, I need to get my sweatshirt back. It's waiting. It's outside on the stoop. You know what I mean? This is all, but these are all tricks people try to use to try and get back into like to just try and get back, wiggle into this blowjob, right, which you got. Because they know that you have liked them before. They're, you were attracted once, you'll be attracted again. That's the thing. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do this one. Played too hard to get. Jared, I met this guy on Hinge back in April. 27, he went back to school to get his law degree and MBA, graduates in June. We talked pretty consistently for about 2 months, starting this past April. It became saying goodnight most nights. I'm not into the pen pal thing, but the conversation was so easy. It felt real, so I didn't mind. Plus, he did try to ask me out a few times, and I just happened to be traveling a lot for work on vacation. Then he had finals for law school. Also, he requested me on Snapchat and Instagram, which I thought was a little weird, so I only accepted the snap. In retrospect, I was going on a big trip with my family, with my friends, so he probably just wanted to see pics. No. He wanted to fucking see if you see what you look like for right. real. Let me see if
building a base.
Yeah, let me see if I want to be a part of this life.
Right.
I joked to him that I didn't want to ruin our cyber relationship before we finally met, because honestly, it was so nice. And seriously, I usually have no time for this bullshit. We finally went out in June and had an awesome time, like 5 hours talking, laughing, walking around the park, street kisses at end. He was such a gentleman, texted me as soon as he got home, etc. Asked me out for next week, but I had to cancel because of a work trip. We went out 2 more times, great dates. He wouldn't let me pay for anything, and it was starting to really feel like I was feel real. I was dead set on getting to the 4th date before sleeping with him. For some reason, so legit, gave him nothing except a steamy makeout in my living room before my roommate interrupted and I kicked him out. But still, he texted me the whole weekend, replied to all my snap stories with hearts saying I looked hot, etc. It felt like a boyfriend material. I kind of didn't engage. Totally pulled back and waited for him to ask me out for the next week, and it didn't happen. That was August. I let it linger. He would text me to chat, but not ask me out. I finally asked him what was up, and he sent this long message about what's going on with him, that maybe he's still not in the best place for dating, but wants to keep in touch, loved hanging out with me. Did I wear him down and he gave up? Did he just get exhausted, challenged too much? Also, I finally let him follow me on Instagram after the last date. Was he freaked out by pics of a longtime ex I deleted most? Last week, he deep liked multiple of my Instagrams, so I guess he went way back. Only the solo shot. Should I give it another shot? To be honest, I want to hook up with him. Happy for it to be casual hangouts, hook up, but how do I make that clear? And I guess I'm still even considering it because I don't like a lot of people. Haha. I'm very picky and kind of tell if this is going to work. We clicked. What do we think?
This just sounds like a lot to unpack. It's just a lot. Like, I think here's the thing is I look at what's happened recently.
Mm.
He went in deep on the IG.
Yeah.
Lately.
Sure.
Pics of just her.
Yeah.
That's a penis. That's a guy that's in.
That's a cock like.
But here's the thing is I feel like he went in hard at the beginning and she played coy. So now if she wants in, she's got to go in. I feel like she's got to go in early now. You can't fuck around.
Here's the thing. Here's what happens. And you're right. There's such a thing as, how do I put this best? You can be too mathematical to fuck. And what I mean by that,
it's like fucking Chip Kelly.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's too. Day one, day two.
Right.
You know, and because this took so long, what happens is, and I'm not saying you're wrong for wanting this, but this is the reality. You put it off so much. It goes from April to August. No fucks.
Yeah.
I'm saying if they had fucked, like, there's no casual to this thing.
Right.
It has to be something more the minute you fuck. And I'm not saying you want that or are asking for that, but he's a gentleman. He's trying to be a nice guy. He went on the dates with you. You had steamy makeouts. And now you're 6 months later and it's like, well, listen, if we fuck, we are in a relationship. I can't disappear after the fuck. I can disappear now.
Right.
And he went home, he masturbated, and he was like, fuck, this is a lot of responsibility for someone that I'm not sure if I even like or if I even want to go down that path with.
Right.
And that's not to say you want that, but that's what he's in his head about. He's saying, listen, we've gone for so long and I know her so well that if we fuck and then I say I don't want to be in a relationship, it'll feel like I was just doing all that to fuck. When really he was doing all that because he was having a fun time with you and fucking didn't happen.
Right.
So the only way back in is to be casual. And I'm not telling her to like go against your morals or your values or what you're looking for. If you're looking for a relationship, that's okay. If you're looking to like, you know, fucking see what happens and maybe a relationship can happen, you have to go back through the side door of casual.
Right.
So the only way to go is to say, I would say to this guy, I would stop with the texting. And also, he didn't get freaked out by your Instagram. That's not what happened.
Right.
Okay? He didn't look at a picture and go, well, I don't know if I could blow my load off or this. You know, he didn't do that shit. The only way back in is you need a date that isn't a date. Because at this point, you know each other well enough and you do have enough trust built up that he could come out and meet you out on a Saturday. So you could be out with friends on a Saturday, go have fun with your friends and be like, hey, I'm out. Come hang now. And then let's see if he meets up. And then let's get a little wild. Let's have a little fun. And let's not put pressure on this to mean something else. And then also not hold that against yourself that you had a fun night. Hey, that was a blast. I would love to reconnect. Maybe we should do drinks this week. Then you can go forward with dates and, you know, getting together.
Right.
Maybe then he stays that next day and hangs for the day.
Well, it seems weird to me because she has, like, she doesn't have a normal job, but she somehow wants to have, like, a normal job dating schedule. It's like, if you're in and out of town so much and you have all this fluctuation, you don't have the luxury of, I'm going to wait till the fourth date to do this.
Yeah.
You have to live, but kind of by, like, the seat of your pants. Like, just, if it feels right, go for it. If it doesn't, like, that's the whole thing. You can't live by Monday, Tuesday, like a weekend dating schedule.
I get that. And also, like, it's okay to, like, not want to have sex with someone. It's okay to be like, hey, I don't
have
sex.
Jared, that's never okay.
Well, it's okay to be like, I think you put yourself in a bad position where you're like, well, only on fourth date. Because then what you're doing is you're saying, then we are something else after this fourth date.
Right.
You give it no chance for even yourself to be like.
So you're saying you had more pressure by saying I'm gonna wait to the fourth day.
Yeah, why not? Like, and also, like, if that's not who you are, that's fine. But it's also like, it's okay to be like, I'm a woman who wants to fuck.
Right.
And then we'll figure out the rest later.
There's also added pressure. Like, what happens if for some reason it doesn't happen on the fourth date? And then you're like, oh my, it just like it, what's taken, like.
Well, that's kind of what happened here.
Right.
Like, she's like, well, where's the date? Everything went well up to here, and he went, well, yeah, everything went up well. We got a fucking Jenga. It's a Jenga fucking mountain that I don't want to pull any of the fucking blocks.
I thought you said Django for a second.
No,
I was like,
Jenga.
All right, I can't wait to hear this one.
It's a, you know, you got the Jenga thing. And you're like, I'm not going to play anymore. It's going to fall over into me having a fucking girlfriend.
Yeah, it's also like I got enough friends. Like, it's kind of one of the things where it's like, you don't want to end up being, there's no worse nightmare for a guy than being like, the friend that's into somebody else.
What do you mean?
Like, when you, like, you go out on a date, you think that you're into her, think she's into you, but she keeps putting up these barriers.
Sure.
And so you keep getting kind of pushed, you almost get drawn in, but then you get pushed away.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the last thing where it's drawn and put, that feels like one of those things where, and a lot of guys, I know that's something I'm super sensitive about. Where sure. When I.
Why are we here?
Right.
Are we here for the fucking or not? And that's okay if we're not, but let me know a little bit. Why don't come on the date just to be on a date.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Shelby, what do we got time for? News?
We have time for some news.
Let's do some news.
Love these sound effects. 9 out of 10 are great.
They're great.
Guys, animal lovers.
Love animals. Justin, how do you feel about animals?
Oh, of course. I love them.
I love animals just enough to not change my life at all for them.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, right? I'll look at an animal. I'll appreciate an animal. I'll eat an animal.
I'll love an animal, and then I'll flush it down the toilet. I'll do all those things.
I ain't changing my life for an animal.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. What's up?
Are you familiar with PETA?
PETA, I'm familiar with.
People for that.
Great chips.
Ethical treatment of animals.
Oh, I love the chips. This is PETA, the organization that helps animals.
PETA.
They're a little bit, PETA's a little crazy auntish to me. It feels like PETA is so far on the animal side that they would kill a human. They'd flush me down the toilet for the animal.
Right.
And it's I don't think PETA understands evolution.
Well,
Darwinism.
They put out a little list of phrases that maybe we should change to be a little more sensitive to animals. Do you ever, when you have two things to get done, but you can get them done with one task, what would you say?
Kill two birds with one stone.
No, you will not say that.
Oh, shit. Who have I been offensive to?
You should say feed two birds with one scone as per PETA's instructions.
Oh my God, I'm exhausted. Could they have had a less manly thing? If I'm out there saying feed two birds with one scone.
You can smell the Brooklyn on this.
Yeah. A scone? It can't be feed two dogs with a bone. It can't be that. It has to be feminine.
Can I tell you, I'm going to start using the two dogs with one bone.
Have a family.
Two birds with one scone.
Yes.
I can't be seen saying such a thing.
Have you gone to the fair?
You could feed two birds with one scone.
It takes my breath away. It really does.
What about when you're supporting a family? What are you doing? And what are you bringing home?
Bringing home the bacon.
I don't think so.
No.
You're bringing home the bagels.
Bringing home the bagels?
Yes.
I'm not allowing that as a Jew. Bring home the bagels.
What about when you're...
Who's bringing home the bagels? Oh, this list almost is too... It feels like PETA's how do we anger the middle of the country? It feels like this is this was made to offend the people they know. They got to do feed two birds with one scone. I could see one dude be like, what the fuck is a scone?
Oh. Have you been to Fairway? They have very good scones.
I love a scone. Let's not make this about the scones.
It's not about the scones.
It's not about the scones. It's about the fucking, it's almost like they're trying to bait people into saying more awful shit.
Well,
to bring home the bagels. I ain't no Jew. It's like that dude was fucking tricked into being anti-Semitic.
He was tricked into it.
That's what I'm saying. PETA's sitting there being how can we make people we disagree with look as evil as possible? Oh, we'll create some sort of fucking weird language problem to then create another problem.
Well, what about if you're someone who's you just hear talking about the same thing constantly,
beating a dead horse.
Straws or something,
I beat a dead horse,
No, you don't. You feed a fed horse.
feed a fed
I don't
horse.
Even think that's grammatically correct. You feed a fed. Why would you? First of all, that's worse than anything else. You're feeding a horse that's already full.
Yeah.
So you're forcing feed into him. What about that? Sounds like a real healthy thing to do to a horse. You want to know what? I grew up around horses. Yeah. Okay. You don't feed them. You don't overfeed horses.
Feed a fed horse is offensive to people who can't eat. Who are starving people.
Or people that have problems controlling what they eat.
Yeah.
I.e. fat people.
Well, this is the thing. All of these things, why are we... I mean, it's like... I saw this on Twitter, and it's like... I think that, like, we live in a world of straw men. Like, these people don't exist. It's like the war on Christmas. Like, I'm Jewish. I've never... When someone says Merry Christmas to me, I've never gotten angry about that. That has never bothered me. And wouldn't you think a story that I've heard every year on Christmas the last 7 years, wouldn't you think I would have met one person as a Jew that would have looked at me and gone, can you believe someone fucking says Merry Christmas to me? Wouldn't you think I would have met one person? I'm on the side that they're claiming gets mad about this.
Right.
I've never met one person that it was offended by Merry Christmas.
Not an aunt, not one aunt.
Not one aunt. And I got annoying fucking aunts. I have not met one that has gotten mad about Merry Christmas. And to me, this is the same thing as the stop using anti-animal language.
PETA.
Nobody is upset about this, even the animals.
They are the organization that like shoots themselves in the dick the most.
Yeah, they fuck up.
They could be, if they just went on like, stop testing animals or like how intelligent pigs are, yet we treat them like
sure.
like dirt. If they could just go on that and everybody would be on their side.
Stick to one. Stick to the, you know, the real message. Like, I understand, like also like dog abuse, like beating animals, like, you know, like there are worthy animal causes out there, I would assume. But this is one that makes every worthy cause of them less.
Well, it's also the thing where it's like, it's only negative shit. They only fight for negative shit. They never say, hey, we're doing a good job. Let's do this better.
Never, like never done a good job. Well, no like, one's ever been
it's
good
It's like
animals.
The fact that even in the middle of the country, more people are adopting rescue dogs than they're getting going to breeders.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, how about a little pat on the back for that?
Yeah, like you're saying, you alter things in the middle of the country and you keep... like.
But this is what happens. This is what happens. When you complain about something that doesn't matter... it ruins every complaint you have about the things that matter.
Right. It takes your credibility.
It takes away your credibility. This is an example for other examples. This is something that's representative of other things that's going on. When you get mad about man spreading, I don't give a shit about your other causes. Because you could have just said, excuse me, that's a dickhead. That's someone who spreads their legs out in the subway. Excuse me. That's all you have to say. The minute you start putting money towards a cause like that or animal language, I go, ugh, get away.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. What? I'm voting for Trump.
Well, it's also a thing.
That's the thing. People think they like, you think people are, the voting, you know, I hate to relate this to something that's so politicized, but people are voting out of spite more than you want to believe.
Oh, of course.
They're looking going,
of course.
Whatever you think, I think the opposite. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Because and that's my privilege. Those are privileged people that are going, yeah, voting really, whoever's president, I'm going to be fine. So I'm just going to do it to fuck with this person that I hate.
Yeah.
And you might be sitting there being like, well, no, come on, Jared. No, that's how simple it is for certain people. Your decision making might be hyper, you know, drenched in your family history and what you want for the world. Other people out there are just going, yeah, I heard that person talk about animal language being abusive. Fuck them.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm voting for team put fucking sewage in the lakes.
It just it really does like it. It feels like at this point you've gotten so like you're pissing off allies now, which is the weirdest thing.
Well, they say you're not ally enough. Like, you're not on their side enough. It's like absolutely crazy. We've gone off the deep end. And this is an example that we'll all laugh at, and we're all like team fuck PETA for this, but it's representative of other things going on.
Well, I can
make
I can,
sure your causes matter.
I mean, I can guarantee you that a lot of the farm animals of people that I know that were in FFA in Oklahoma, they treat their animals better than most of these Brooklyn people that have dogs in their apartment.
Yeah. You have a dog. You have an 8-foot dog just sitting in a 4-foot apartment.
Yeah, it's
good job. That's called a
You take him outside 3 times a day.
Yeah.
So he gets a total of 40 minutes outside time. Get out of here. Get the fuck
Justin
out of here.
Justin Smith. Shelby, thank you for bringing. Do we have another one?
We have one more that we teased.
Okay, let's do the teaser. Our other guest is downstairs, so I'm just making sure.
We'll blast through this bad
boy. Okay, let's blast through it.
Let's just have a little video here. Title of it, we can see if we're on the woman's side or the man's side and if this video is fake or not.
Okay, so that's a little, hold on. There's a lot of games in this.
I know.
Thing. So we're going to play the video.
It's titled, "This Chick Fixed Her Man's iPad and Found Out He Was Texting Other Bitches."
Okay. Is she an iPad technician?
We'll see.
Okay.
They are going into a store, as you can see. Shoe store.
You're walking in with the video phone up. It's never a good.
Yeah, she's taping this whole thing.
And you sitting here got news with bitches named Bree, Jasmine, and Keisha, and everybody fucking else. What is this?
How much was it to get fixed?
$350. That don't matter. Who the fuck are these bitches? And you wasting my motherfucking money.
How much was it to get fixed?
These bitches, Marco.
Fuck them shoes. Fuck get them shoes. Give her money for a tab.
You think I'm gonna pay for these motherfucking shoes? Like I'm some trick ass bitch.
Smack him with the motherfucking tablet.
I love the friend.
She brought a camera woman.
Brought a camera woman.
How much was the iPad?
It don't matter. Who the fuck is these bitches, Marco?
I like that he's.
Who is these bitches?
He's keeping to the message.
Cause you got me fucked up like I'm a fucking bitch.
Are they laughing at him?
Yeah, the guys in the store are laughing at him.
You shut the fuck up.
They're yelling at the guys.
She cut off. They cut off reinforcements.
If I pay for it, nigga, fuck you. If I pay for it, I can do what the fuck I wanna do. That's my money.
I love
this. Shirt and everything else.
Just
why
break
are you
it.
Looking at me with this dumb ass look on your face?
Break the motherfucker. Break it.
Oh, shit.
Fuck you.
She listened to the friend.
Oh.
Break the motherfucker. Then she threw it on the ground. The friend is like a wrestling manager. Holy shit. Oh. Break it.
Paul Heyman.
Is it Paul Heyman? Yeah. Just break the motherfucker.
I said sweep the leg.
Yeah.
Sweep it.
That is wild. Well, what's funny is, so to explain to the listeners at home, she went to the store, paid for it to get fixed herself, and then she to figure out who he's been texting.
Because you can hook the like your computer, get your text on your iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she basically brought, she thought something was up, so then she got the iPad fixed so that she could see what was going on.
Did not find out he was doing key bumps, but that he was fucking other bitches.
It was maybe a more worse crime.
I mean, do you think she got it fixed just to see it? Because he said.
How much was it?
Yeah.
I think.
Like he agreed there was a problem. He wasn't like, why the iPad wasn't broken. Like, he wasn't shocked that it was getting fixed.
$350.
You could just buy a new iPad.
$350 is pretty cheap for the truth.
Get the mini.
I love that he knew he was caught, and he was just like, well, how much was it? Like, he's like, here's the one thing I can get mad at.
You know what?
The cost.
She kept getting mad at him because he was just sitting there standing. He was sitting there trying to figure out, man, how am I going to pay for these sneakers I just put up here? Because I can't put them back.
Yeah. Oh, also thinking, how am I going to get not laughed at by these other dudes working? How do I get out of this store? Man, that's great. What came out of that? Anything?
I'm guessing they're not together.
Oh, okay. Well, love loses. Listen, Shelby, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Justin Smith, thank you for coming on.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. I always love this show, man. This is great.
At Justin Smith Comedy on Instagram. Go follow. Go support. So funny. I'm Jared Free. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. We'll be back next episode. Boom.